I'd like to say, first of all, how much I have enjoyed being here and appreciated the privilege of coming. The folks have just really excelled themselves in the noon meal. And up till Friday, I gained 5 pounds since I'd been here. And after that, I decided I'd quit weighing. And my wife and I are supposed to be, on a diet. I told her she'd lose a certain amount in a certain amount of time, that I'd buy her a new dress. But she's already ordered a new dress, and looks like she's going to need another one by the time that one gets here, because I don't know whether it'll fit or not. But anyway, my end of the bargain just really hasn't went that well. But we've just enjoyed the meals. They've been very good. We've enjoyed being here and appreciated the privilege of coming and sharing with you the Word of God. And I hope and trust that we have been a blessing to you, because you've certainly been a blessing to me. And it's been a real privilege. And I really count it an honor and a joy to be here with you and share with you and see what God's doing. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to John's Gospel, chapter 6, the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to deal with the subject here in John chapter 6, because I believe that you will have a heart to do what God wants you to do. I think you've proven that in the past, and I believe it'll be so today. In John chapter 6, we read in verse 1, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we pray that the perfect will of God might be done in every heart and every life here this morning. We ask you, our Father, to open our hearts, help us, our Father, to be responsive and obedient to that which you speak to our hearts about this morning. We pray that you'll guide and direct in this service. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ as a covering over this meeting.
Amen.
To defeat all the forces of hell.
Amen.
And to bring in, Lord, bring into captivity every thought, and Lord, to resist all those things that will disobey God, all those things that will fight against God, all of those things, Lord, that will draw our attention away from the things of God. Help us, our Father, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh God, I pray that your will might be done in every life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed in how many of the miracles that Christ performed, after those miracles, how the people responded, the statements they made, how God was glorified, or someone said, of a truth, this is that prophet that should come into the world, or surely this is the Son of God, or various statements to that effect. We're told by John that these things were written to prove that he was the Christ. and the Son of God. You know, some people say, well, I tell you what, God doesn't need miracles to prove that he's God. No, he doesn't. But he certainly used them in many, many cases to show and to prove who he was. And with us as his disciples, he gives miracles to assure that we are his own. He said to his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, I'm going away, and when the Holy Spirit of God comes, then you're going to do greater things, greater miracles, greater things than I have done, because I go to the Father. And you know, the Holy Spirit of God has allowed us and enabled us to preach in our day many times upon one occasion to more people
Amen.
Than our blessed Lord preached to in his entire ministry. Greater miracles, Jesus said, than these shall ye do because I go to the Father. God has enabled us by the means of radio and television and the printed page. God has enabled you, Lindell, as an individual to preach to far more nationalities, different language groups, and different cultures than our blessed Lord ever preached to in all of his ministry. And you know, there are many preachers, many missionaries, many of them, I mean really hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of missionaries that in a full life of missionary service, sometimes 30 or 40 or 50 years, have won many, many more times people to Christ than Jesus himself ever won personally. My, how blessed of God we have been.
Amen.
And the Lord gives us some principles here in the 6th chapter of John on how we can glorify him, I believe, in a special way. Now, let's look at the chapter and some of the background for a moment. The Lord had been with his disciples in the land of Galilee around the area of the town or the city of Tiberias. He went over the Sea of Galilee, which is of Tiberias. Now, it was the Sea of Galilee near the area of Tiberias. And that part of the Sea of Galilee was called the Sea of Tiberias. Just like there's the great Gulf of Mexico. Really, it's part of the Caribbean Sea. And when it's near a certain area, we call it by the name of that area. So it was here. And he'd gone across to the other side after he'd performed miracles where he was. He'd gone across with his disciples to the other side, and a great multitude had followed around the lake. They had gone across the shorter distance by water, and this multitude had followed around the longer distance on the banks, on the beaches, the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And they arrived. And Jesus was sitting there with his disciples, teaching, ministering in a special way to those disciples. And they look up and they see this great company of people. 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Probably 12,000 people or more. And here they came. And he sees this great company of people. And without any further word, he says to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now that poses a problem, a real problem. Here are a number of people with a need that could not be met apart from a supernatural work of God.
Amen.
The problem was this. There was a lack of bread. Now, I don't know why Jesus didn't say, "Where can we find some steak that these may eat?" I don't know why he didn't mention any vegetables. I don't know why he didn't mention any meat. I don't know why he didn't mention any drink. All he said was, "When shall we buy bread?" You see, the problem was a lack of bread. And really, that's the problem that we face today. And I do not mean Mrs. Baird's bread or some other bread. I'm talking about the bread of life.
Amen.
And so is the 6th chapter of John.
Amen.
All of this was leading up to that great discourse that Christ gave on the bread of life when he said, "I am that bread that came down from God out of heaven." He's the bread of life. And that's the problem that we face today, the lack of bread. We're not here in this conference as missionaries just to get an offering.
Amen.
Missionaries are not traveling from church to church and all over the United States and presenting their work just to get an offering. Brother, if that were the case, forget it, man. I mean, you can make a lot more money on a job and don't have to leave your family or travel near as far as that, brother. You can make twice and three and four and 10 times as much on a job that's a whole lot easier, and you don't have to put up with so many adverse people.
Yes. Amen, brother.
Boy, I'll tell you what, if I was doing this for an offering, just mark me down as the biggest fool in this country, because I can make a whole lot more money. Listen, I can make more money down there mooching on the street as a beggar, brother, than you can make in missionary conferences.
Amen, brother.
The problem is the lack of bread. We're here because we want to stimulate your faith to the point that God will enable us, that we'll be able to give the word of God to the multitudes of the world. The lack of bread. It absolutely astounds me to know that there are 3 million people who learn to read every week in this world. 3 million new literates every week. The problem? Something to read. The communists are making sure that they meet that need. People are going to believe what they read. You know, there's a tendency, not so much in this country, but in most other countries of the world, there is a tendency for people, whatever they see in print, to believe that. They think if it's printed, especially if it's printed in a newspaper,
amen,
or in a magazine, it has an aura of authenticity and authority, and they tend to believe if they see something printed in a newspaper, or if they see something well produced, they have a tendency to believe that it couldn't be false if it was done up in such a way. And it's just sort of bred in their culture. Our problem is a lack of bread. We need the gospel. We need reading material for those who are learning to read. 3 million new literates every week. Bob Stamford told me, he was a missionary in Ethiopia for some 10 or 12 years before they were thrown out and before they were driven out of that country by the communist takeover. He said to me, and I quote, "We lost Ethiopia through the lack of literature." The missionaries in Ethiopia, many of the mission stations, many of the mission boards, did virtually what they did in India. They taught them how to read, and the communists gave them the literature. The grandson of Mahatma Gandhi made that statement some years ago. The missionaries taught us to read, but the communists gave us the literature. Our problem is bread, that these multitudes may eat. 85% of all Christian literature is published with those in mind, is published in view to those who are already saved and know Jesus Christ. 85% of all of our literature is published for the Christian, for teaching, for feeding, for growing, whatever the case may be. The best literature that we produce in all Christian circles, the most colorful, on the best paper, that which is the best bound of all of our literature, that which will last longer, with the best covers, with the best sewing, with the best binding, with the best paper, that literature that we produce, the best of it all, is for those of us that are already saved. And what we produce, the 15% for the missionaries on the mission field, is usually on some kind of beat-up newsprint. When the sun hits it, brother, it just falls all to pieces and will not last. We give the cheapest and the worst and the sorriest that we print for the missionaries on the mission field. The communists reverse that. The most colorful, on the best paper, for the cheapest price, the most well-produced of their literature they produce to make communists out of non-communists. Our problem is that we have kept the seed in the barn. Brother, you cannot have bread unless you plant the wheat.
Amen.
We must plant the seed, but we've kept it in the barn. It's like Haggai's day. He said to the people, "Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn?" And for the most part, that's where the seed is. You see, on Sunday morning, we get up in our houses and we get dressed and we get our little seed bags. Some of them are white, some of them are red, some of them are black. Some of them have little zippers on them. Some of them are large and some of them are small. And we get our little seed bags and sometimes we tuck it in our purses or in our pockets. And off we go down to the barn on Sunday morning. And we all come in and, you know, we open our little seed bag and brother, we just start feeding. Man, I tell you, we have a feast and we just eat out of that seed, you know, and we just absorb that seed. And oh, we say what a wonderful feed we had. And then after it's all over, we close up our little seed bag and zip up our little zipper and we go back home and we keep that little seed bag in the house tucked away until next Sunday morning when we all come together to the little barn again and we begin to feed on our seed bag. And brother, we have kept the seed in the barn.
Amen.
Now I'll tell you what you can do with seed that you keep in the barn. If you're talking about corn or wheat or whatever, if you keep the seed in the barn, there are three things you can do with it. Seed in the barn. You can eat it till it's all gone, or you can let it rot where it's not fit to eat or plant, or you can let the rats eat it. That's about all I know that you can do with seed in the barn. But you can take that seed and you can plant that seed, and you can reproduce many times over. Amen. I wish I'd have kept a clipping that I read in the paper about two brothers in Kansas many, many years ago. These men are nearly multimillionaires now. Wheat farmers. They started out with two bushels of wheat, two brothers. And they took these two bushels of wheat and they planted the entire two bushels. And they reaped their harvest and they kept just enough wheat out of that harvest to eat until the next harvest, to make their bread until the next harvest. And they kept 4 bushels of wheat to plant. They planted 2. And they kept 4 for seed. They kept enough to eat, and they sold the rest. And then they took those 4 bushels and planted them, and they did the same over and over and over again. And they're nearly multimillionaires today. Because you see, they didn't keep the seed in the barn. They planted the seed. And it reproduces.
Amen.
Jesus said to his disciples, where are we going to get bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. Now the problem was simply this. There was no bread. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, but he wanted to prove his disciples. So he said to Philip, where are we going to get bread? You know, in other words, they had just come from a service, if you want to call it that, or a session, where Christ had performed all sorts of miracles of healing. They'd just come from that. And he turns to Philip and says, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In so many words, Jesus was saying to his disciples, listen, boys, it's over to you. Where are we going to get bread? On another occasion, he said to his disciples, give ye them to eat. You feed them. It's over to you. So Philip answered. Well, he said, you know, I think, and this is kind of a revised version. I think that we've got about 200 pence in our treasure. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. Now, where in the world did he come up with that figure? Why did he say 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient? I tell you, that's probably exactly what they had in the treasure. You see, Philip was looking to human resource to meet the need for bread.
Yes,
he was looking to human resource.
Yes.
And there's another thing that he said that disturbs me. Why, he said, Lord, if we take all that we've got, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient, that every one of them may take a little. He never had in mind to start with to give anybody a full meal. All he wanted to do was a little. He didn't want to do a lot, brother. He just wanted to do a little. And we feel the same. I mean, we act the same way in our churches, brother. We never get a vision of how much we can do. We always look and see how least we can do just to get back. The preacher says, well, I'll tell you what.
We have got to have at least $1,000 this morning to meet the need. And so we're thinking, well, now if I give so much, and maybe Brother So-and-so gives so much, maybe we can have enough to give at least that. Why do we think that way? We are always thinking how little we can do, not how much we can do. I think we really need to get our minds somehow in another gear. Human resources. Oh, I tell you, that's exactly the way we do. Well, we'll look and see what we've got in the treasury. So, Philip didn't hit the jackpot. I mean, he missed the bullseye by a mile. So Andrew decides he's going to take a shot at it. And his is not much better. He comes up and he says, well, he said, I'll tell you what. If 200 penny worth of bread is not going to do it, how about this little boy here? Now, I'll tell you what he's got. He's got 5 loaves. And 2 small fish. And he says, now I know that's all he's got. And this may be sort of a last ditch effort. I mean, this may be a drowning man clinging to a straw. But he says, here he is. There's a lad here. But I don't know what in the world you're going to do with what he's got. I mean, what are they among so many? Well, here it is, God. Here's what I've got. It's all I've got. This is all I found. This little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't have anything else. This is all I've been able to find, and you can have it, but I don't believe you can do much with it. I just don't think you're going to be able to do anything with what I've come up with. Pessimism. Brother, I'll tell you what, if we don't turn to human resource, we turn to pessimism. One or the other. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? Well, he hadn't learned yet that little is much when God is.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we've looked at the disciples' response. I want you to look at the Lord's reserve. He just said, make the men sit down. Make the men sit down. Brother Olaf's always talking about heaven's store is full of stock and God's bank ain't busted yet.
Amen.
And, you know, that's true. I tell you, the Lord had a reserve that these disciples didn't know anything about. And so he brings the boy. He brings the lad. And I don't know what this boy said. We don't know his name. We don't know if he said anything. I mean, he might be timid like some little fellas I know. I mean, he just kind of got caught up in that deal and really didn't know, you know, what was going on. But I mean, here was this adult, you know, that said, look, man, you know, we need your fish and your bread. Yes, sir. Sir. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. I came out here on a picnic. I don't know how I got in this deal, but, you know, I mean, there's about 12,000 people already. Yes, sir. I have anything I've got. Poor little kid standing there shaking his knees, knocking. Well, here it is. Now, I don't know. Maybe it was like that, but I doubt very seriously. That little boy jumped up and clicked his seals and said, glory to God, this is my one chance to make it big. You know? I doubt very seriously. I doubt very seriously if he looked at it like that. He just said, well, here it goes. Boy, I don't know what my mama's going to say. It reminds me of what I was seeing on television some time back. This guy was in one of these all-star competitions, this crazy fellow that's always acting a fool. And he made some crazy statement and about his mother, you know, living in that fellow named Mort. But anyway, he said something about his mother was living in poverty and he needed to win this event to take care of his mom. And he said, oh, he said, I blew it now. He said, I don't know what my mama's going to do to me when I get home. And maybe I think this little boy was like that. You know, I don't know what my mama's going to do to me when I get home. Or what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. I tell you what, that's more than anybody else. Brother, I tell you what, he's like a little boy, you know, when everybody else was starving to death and he had a pocket full of candy. I mean, he was really in bad shape. Did you ever get like that in school? Well, he just lost it all. I mean, there it was. They just flat took that boy's lunch and brought him, marched him up there. I mean, just like you're going in front of the principal. Here he is. Look at him. Nobody else has got anything. Everybody else is starving to death. And here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. One of these days, I tell you, God's going to march us before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
And we're going to stand there maybe with what we've got. And what a shame. But I want to tell you, this boy is sort of an unusual character because he took what he had. He just took what he had and did what he could. With whatever he had, he gave it. Someone said he was in the right place at the right time with the right attitude.
Amen.
And that's true. Now, you may think you're in the wrong pew this morning, but you're in the right place. And everything's on time. The presentation was simply the boy who brought himself to Christ with what he had. All God expects out of you, all God expects out of me, is for us to simply present ourselves before the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Ourselves, all that we are and all that we have and all that we hope to be, to simply present ourselves before God. For the Lord's using in His time, and His much grace. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now in another of the Gospels relating the same story, they sat them down in companies of 50s, 100s, and 1,000. They divided the men up. They organized the situation. You know, God's a God of order. God's a God of organization. And the first thing Jesus did when he sought to feed the multitude was organize the situation. And brother, we are not going to reach 4 billion plus people without some organization.
Amen.
About evangelism.
Amen.
We're not going to do it with some clap-trap, slap-happy method, brother. We're just absolutely not going to. We're going to have to set a plan. We're going to have to know where we're going and what areas we've covered and what areas we haven't covered if we're going to feed the multitudes with the bread of God. Now, let me just share with you some things that Jesus didn't do, and then we'll look at what he did do. In the first place, he did not import foreign resources to meet that present need. You see, that's where we're playing the fool in this country, in the oil situation. We think that we can rely on foreign imports, and that's where we played the fool. Well, the Lord didn't say, now tell you what, let's take some of these men, and maybe we can take the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and we'll have enough out of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed several of these men and give them enough strength to get back to some city or somewhere else where they can get enough bread and fish or whatever to bring out here and feed the rest of them. In other words, we'll form a supply line and we'll go somewhere else and we will import into this situation what we need. Now, he certainly didn't do that. But we're guilty of that many, many times. We're thinking, you know, now, Lord, we want to do something for giving the bread of God to the multitudes, and where are we going to get what we need? Maybe we can import it. And so maybe some fella gets an idea in some churches, and I'll tell you what we can do. We can have a special day, and I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get one of these skydivers, and we'll have them fly over the church and jump out, you know, and come down and land, and that'll give us a big crowd of people, and we'll import a bunch of people for a special day, and we will import some resources. That's just the way we do. It's not what the Lord did. He didn't import resources from an outside source. God does anything in this congregation, he's going to do it with this congregation.
Amen.
Another thing he didn't do, he didn't take the bread and the fish and just throw it up for grabs. Grab what you get, hope you get a little, and, you know, do the best you can and eat it before somebody else grabs it from you. Not what he did. I tell you, you know, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? That really sounds ridiculous. And yet, you know, we practice the same principles with the gospel. I mean, man, we just throw it here and throw it there and hope somebody will find it, you know. I had a guy write to me one time, and he said, oh, praise God. He said, we have got a plan to evangelize Mexico. And this is actually what he said. He said, we've got a plan to evangelize Mexico. We've got about 16 kids, and we are going to catch the train in Tijuana, and we are going to travel from Tijuana to Mexico City. And all along, we are going to throw out gospel tracts to the people alongside the railroad. And want to know if I'd send him a whole pile, thousands of gospel tracts to throw out the train with him. I didn't even answer his letter. And evangelize Mexico on one train line. You know, it's just amazing. Just throw it up for grabs. I think something else the Lord didn't do. He not only didn't take that bread and fish and throw it up for grabs, but he didn't form a bread line. No, he didn't form a bread line. And you know, just about, that's the way we do many times. I'll tell you what, you know, we've kind of got into a place of bribing people to hear the gospel.
Amen.
You know, we're going to take a big bus and we're going to put a $5 bill under a certain seat, and whoever happens to be sitting under that seat, boy, they're going to find that $5 bill. And we just do this on Sunday morning, and we are preserving a practice that we profess that we absolutely abhor, and that's a Sunday morning Christianity. So we bribe people to hear the message of God. My, what a pity. Well, the Lord didn't form a bread line. He didn't start any handout deal. And, of course, that's not any knock to Brother Art. He knows that, and everybody else here knows that. Amen. Understand exactly what I'm talking about. I'll tell you another thing the Lord didn't do. He didn't set these men down in 50s and 100s and 1,000s and say, now, I'll tell you what we'll do. We've got all these people here. Here are 12,000 people. Now, I'll tell you how we're going to feed these people. What we're going to do is this. We are going to take a sample. We are going to take one person as a representative of each group, and then we are going to take this bread and fish and feed that one representative of each caste or each nationality or each group, and then we are going to say that we have given the bread to that nation, to that group. Do you folks know where I'm coming from this morning?
Amen.
You know, brother, we say, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to send one missionary to Africa, and one missionary to India, and one missionary to Indonesia, and one missionary to Korea, and one missionary to China, and we're going to say that we've evangelized Korea and China and India and Africa and all the rest. Because we are going to get a representative. I tell you what, God never passed out Whitman sampling. Sample. Well, I tell you something else they didn't do. They didn't say, I tell you what we'll do. We'll serve those that are nearest first, and after we give them all that they want, then we'll think about getting some more for the rest of them. He didn't do that. Well, you know what would have happened had those disciples taken that bread and that fish and started down the first and the second row and gave them a little bit and then come back to the first and the second row and gave them a second helping before the rest of them. You know what would have happened. I mean, they'd have had a riot. I mean, that's one of the problems we've got in this country right now. There have been some folks that have been deprived for so long, brother, they're just finally rising up. Now, the Lord didn't do that. He didn't say, as I mentioned the other night, ye shall be witnesses unto me first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria. He said, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, all at the same time. The Lord never had intentions of giving everyone a little bit, just a morsel. Now, I want to share with you what he did do. As I mentioned, he sat the people down. He organized the situation in 50s, 100s, and 1,000s. And then when the people were sat down, he said nothing about what they had, but he sat them down, and then he prayed. Organization first, and then supplication. He sat them down, and he prayed. No supplication, no success. Listen, our greatest regret at the judgment seat of Christ will be that we didn't pray sufficiently.
Amen.
That we didn't pray aright. And when we did pray, we prayed to consume it upon our own lust. He prayed. Then after he prayed, he took that 5 loaves and those 2 fishes, and he divided it equally among those disciples. 12 baskets. Each disciple had a basket. Now, they did not have, folks, they did not have some great big baskets to hold enough to feed their group. I think there were 12,000 people there. And my figure is just as good as anybody else's because, you know, there's no certain number named. But I like 12,000 because there's 12 disciples and the people were set down in companies, 50s, 100s, and 1,000s. That kind of equalized it, you know. And each disciple would have had 1,000 people to feed. But I tell you, no disciple had a basket big enough to feed his 1,000 people. It didn't. Nobody expected this to happen. Nobody brought big baskets like that. Anyway, why would anybody bring an empty basket out there that size? Now, that's ridiculous, isn't it? I tell you, we get some weird ideas from the scriptures. You know, God, this is not some kind of fairy tale that we're reading. I mean, this is not Flash Gordon, you know? Or, you know, if something's not on the scene, you know, the artist just draws it in, it disappears. I mean, this was a real live situation. The 12 baskets that they had, no doubt, were 12 baskets that somebody brought with a single lunch in it and had already eaten it. So they had 12 baskets. And here the Lord takes 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and divides it 12 ways. Now, buddy, you talk about being in a spot. I mean, just, you know, the Lord says, right there, you're 1,000 to feed. Folks, we've got 1,000 sitting here, you know, 1,000 over here. Glory to God. I wish we did this morning,
amen.
But anyway, Lyndall, you take this group here, and Art, you take this group here, and now here is your portion, 1/12 of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You got to feed 1,000 for that portion. Boy, you talk about a responsibility. Now, the scripture says that they went along and they saw how little they had in that basket. And they just took a pinch because they wanted it to get around to everybody. So they just took a pinch and they gave him a little pinch and him a little pinch just to make sure that it would last until they got to the... Is that what it says? No, that's not what the scripture says. No. The Bible says that he gave to the disciples and the disciples that then were set down and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Brother, they just gave them all they wanted. I tell you what they did. They gave in faith. I mean, as much as they wanted. As they put their hand in it to give it out, God put his hand in it to fill it up. And that basket just didn't get any bigger. It didn't get any more fish in it. And it didn't get any less fish in it. It just kept having the same amount. And every time they took it out, brother, God put it back in. And the more it came in, the faster they gave it out, brother. And they gave it out in abundance. My, how they changed their attitude from the first when they said that everyone may have a little. Brother, they got revived somewhere in this prayer meeting. Brother, I don't know what Jesus prayed, but I tell you what came out of his lips must have fired up this bunch of Christians, brother, because they began to give and their whole philosophy was changed. And they gave in faith. And they gave in abundance. The more they gave it out, the more God gave it in. I tell you what, I believe they gave in joy. Amen. I believe they got happy. The Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. I want to tell you something else. They gave out not only in faith, they not only gave out in abundance, they not only gave it out with joy, but they gave it out with absolute futility. Somehow, I believe some of these guys must have tried to outgive God, and they just couldn't do it. I told you the last time I was here about an experience I had in Australia, and I'm going to repeat it this morning because it's funny to me. But I heard and I read in the paper that they were going to bring a drag line from Japan for the coal fields out in Blackwater and Mallee in central Queensland. And they were going to bring it in at Port Alma where we live, about 25 miles from where we live. And so I wanted to see this thing. They said it's the biggest drag line that had ever been built in the history of mankind up to that point. I don't know if they built a bigger one now. But the Mitsubishi Company in Japan built it. And the thing was so big, they brought it on 2 ships, disassembled. And they got it out there at Port Alma, and they assembled this thing. And I'm going to tell you what, it was huge. You never saw anything like it in all your life. The cabin where that guy sat, I mean, it was just full of controls. Whole thing was computerized. And it was all air-conditioned, and it was just like a room. Well, I mean, it was just like, it was about 10 by 10. And he had a great big plush seat to sit in, and he just sat around there, and that thing's air conditioned. He just pushed buttons to run it. You know, push one button and the wheels would go, and push another button and something else would happen. The whole thing was computerized. And so they didn't have any vehicle that was large enough to carry that thing out there. So they drove it. I mean, about 4 miles an hour. 3 or 4 miles an hour. They drove this thing out there. And in return for crossing, a lot of property, private property, they'd dig a pond for the people as they passed through. And I tell you, the bucket on this thing was so large that they just passed through. And the guy said, "Where do you want a pond?" You know, and he just reached over and shoo, just keep on moving. You know, a couple of 3 scoops, boy, and the guy had a lake. I mean, it's something. You never saw something. Hey, let me tell you what. This drag line, the bucket on that drag line for that coal field was so large that you could drive 8 Volkswagen buses inside that bucket. I mean, you drive 4 of them in there and 4 of them behind. 8 Volkswagen buses in this bucket. I mean, it's something. I mean, just a couple of scoops and it filled a whole train load. You know, one of these big, not a box car, but a big coal car. And I looked at that thing and I said, "My, I've never seen anything like it all my life." And I got to thinking, you know, about giving to God. I wonder if we would just use some kind of measure like that to give to God, how God would give back to us. And that's the way these disciples did, brother. I mean, the more they took it out of that basket, the more God put it in. And they gave with great joy. Now, let me show you what happened. They not only fed, the 12,000 people. They not only gave them all that they wanted, but they were all filled, and they gathered up in the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. They took up more than what they started with. All that is based on the biblical principle of Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you give, with all shall it be measured to you again. Now, I've got a few more minutes, because I just, if I let you out at 12 o'clock, I'd be accused of compromising so we could see the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm not going to do that. I could have let you out at 12 o'clock, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want anybody to think I'm a compromiser.
Amen.
I want you to look just for a few moments. I'm not going to keep you that long, really. I want you to look for just a few moments at Luke 6:38. I want you to mark this in your Bible. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if you'll get a hold of this morning,
Amen.
you'll get enough right here. In fact, you'll get more right here than you got out of this entire conference. If you'll get a hold of this verse right here.
Amen.
If you'll get a hold of this verse and let this verse get a hold of you, it will absolutely transform your spiritual life. You can translate this into any area of the Christian life, not only finances. Brother, you can transfer this into the area of love and compassion and grace.
Amen.
And the prayer and study and witnessing. I mean, you can just transfer it right over because it is a principle. Jesus said, it's the words of the Lord Jesus himself. I mean, a direct promise from the mouth of God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, withal shall it be measured to you again. The only prerequisite for obtaining this promise is in one word, give.
Amen.
He didn't say how much. He didn't say how long. He just said give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. But with the same measure that you give, it's going to be measured to you again. Now, in your giving, you can get excited and give with a measure like that Mitsubishi dragline. Or, as I said before, you can use one of those little McDonald's spoons. And, brother, that's the way that God's going to give to you.
Amen.
The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat.
Yeah.
No wonder we've got so many spiritually shriveled up people in our churches. I mean, we've been given to God with these little souvenir teaspoons. God said, whatever measure you use, I will give it to you again. Now, let me give you an illustration. Take a bushel of wheat. I can set a bushel basket right here, and I can get a bag of wheat, and I can begin to pour that bag of wheat into that bushel until that bushel basket comes right to the top. And then I can take me a board and I can move it across the top of that basket and I can level off that bushel of wheat. And you can come by and you can look at it and you can say that is a full bushel of wheat. That is a bushel of wheat. But I tell you what you can do with that basket. You can take that basket and you can begin to shake it. And that wheat will begin to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you shake it, the more it'll settle
Amen.
Down. And brother, the first thing you know, you can pour a lot more wheat into that basket. And you can keep filling that basket up. You can keep filling that basket up. And finally, you can just fill it up and heap it over until it begins to run over the side. And you still got a bushel of wheat, but there's a lot more in that second bushel than there is the first. And that's the way God does. He said, if you'll give, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you give, withal shall it be measured to you again. Now God's going to give back to you just the way that you give to God. Now that is a direct principle of the Word of God. You want God to pour out His blessings upon you? You want that good measure? You want it pressed down? You want it shaken together? You want it running over? Then you give to God with a larger measure than you've ever given before. And God will give back to you with the same measure that you give to Him. I tell you what, if you want an experience like you've never had before in all of your life, you try it out, give God. I'm talking about bread this morning. I'm not talking about for programs and projects that don't amount to a hill of beans But listen, I'm talking about giving the bread of God to the multitudes of the world. You get involved especially in this matter of giving to missions, and give like you've never given before, and you'll see the blessings of God like you've never seen before. Now that's God's promise. I hope you take it and mark it, and I hope you memorize it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. This little boy gave all that he had. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he didn't have one lunch, brother, when it was over. He had 12 baskets full. Everybody else had had all they wanted, and they were all filled. And that little boy got his basket back and much more. I want to tell you something else in closing, lest you get the wrong idea. I do not believe that God is going to give to us in order for us to get. You do not give to God in order to get something. You don't sit here and say, now I tell you what, boy, this is really good. I tell you, this is a flat one for me. I'm fixing to become a millionaire. I'm going to take this, and boy, I'm going to start giving to God, because I know when I do, I'm fixing to get rich. I tell you what you're fixing to do. You're fixing to be down at that rescue mission where Brother Art is. You're going to be down on Skid Row. That's where you're fixing to be, with that kind of an attitude. But I believe when it comes to this spiritual matter, that we give in order to get, in order to give.
Amen.
You don't give with a selfish motive. Listen, you give with a selfish motive, brother, and you'll go bankrupt. But if you'll give to God in order that God will give to you, in order that you can give more to God, in order that God will give you, that you can give more to God, I'll tell you what, you'll see that blessing for you.
Amen.
And the basket's filled. One of these days I want to preach on the fragment that remains. And I'll tell you this morning, we're feasting on the fragment that remains.
Amen.
I tell you, we're feasting on the fragment that remains, shall we? Dear Lord, Lord, more than anyone else, you know what we need.
Amen.
During this hour. And Lord, we commit this service to you. Lord, take the stumbling words, take the message, whatever it may have been, and use it, dear God, to your honor and glory. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to the hearts of the people. Help them, Father, to take what they have and use it to the glory of God. Even though, Lord, it doesn't look like much. Even though it appears, Lord, that our small 5 loaves and small fishes will not do anything toward world evangelism that we've talked about this week. Help us, Lord, just to take what we've got.
Amen.
And give it where we are.
Amen.
And watch you multiply it and bless it and use it to the furtherance of the gospel throughout the world. Lord, I believe if we'll give like we've never given before, that it will encourage others to give who have not given before. Father, I pray, speak to our hearts, O God, and in this meeting, accomplish your purpose and your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? We've not preached the gospel this day. We've been preaching on missions. Certainly that is a carrying the gospel around the world, but it's on a burden to people's hearts. I think that you ought to commit yourself today as to what the Lord would have you to do. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, something you need to do, why, you need to do it today. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to be saved. We'd just be glad to take our time and show you how to be saved if the Lord has so convicted your heart. But there are many Christians, and the most of you I see and know are saved, born-again believers. You love the Lord Jesus Christ already. Maybe you need to put this principle in effect today, the feeding of the 5,000 by the 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. You know something? Give, and it shall be given unto you. What are you going to do this next year? What are you going to do in the years to come? Is there going to be something that will change your life today and make you a part of that feeding the bread to the hungry multitudes around the world that know not Christ as Savior and Lord? I ask you to pray about it. I ask you to right now to commit your life to the Lord, to ask Him what He would have you to do. And if you have any burden upon your heart, anything you need to talk with us about, Brother Taylor and I'll be down here. We'll just be glad to talk with you and pray with you in any special need that you might have. I'm going to ask Brother Jim to sing. We're here. Maybe somebody here needs to surrender their life to the mission field. Maybe somebody knows where they're supposed to go. Maybe somebody needs to be saved. Whatever the burden is upon your heart, if there's some testimony you need to give, will you come on down? Talk to Brother Taylor. Pray with him or myself. Brother Jim, what'd you think? Will you surrender to Him today? I surrender all. Will you do it? Does he have all today? How much does Jesus have to him? There's something you need to give to him, something you've been holding back. Would you give it to Jesus? The life, the money, the ambition, the peace, whatever it might be. The soul. Would you give it to him? I surrender all. What'd you do it today? I surrender. Good night. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Lord, I pray that you so move upon us that we've placed in our lives these things. Lord, we truly surrender all. And Lord, we give that it would be given back, that we might give again. Lord, that we would not be desirous to get and to gain while we're here. And we have enough sense to see that which we can see and feel and know is but temporal and shall pass away. Lord, that which we cannot see, that which is of the gospel, the word of God, is eternal. Lord, may we give bread to lost and dying multitudes. I pray you so remind this people here, we walk in the very center of your will. Lord, that Christ, you might live your life through each and every one of us, that we'd truly be a functioning body of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing him as him. Oh Lord, I pray you touch every heart and life with you. As a soul that has not done your will this day, I pray that you give them no rest until they do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated for just one minute?